I'd like to welcome you to our Marked By series. This is Marked By Part 6, and this sermon didn't get recorded, and so I'm going to go ahead and do an overview of what the sermon was about, and just thank you so much for joining us for this sermon series. We'd love to worship with you at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings at Rossville Bible Fellowship, and just want to invite you to come join us for worship, but thank you so much for joining us for this Bible study during this sermon time in our Marked By series. And I want to start out with the same verse we start out with every single time. And we're in John chapter 13, verses 34 through verse 35. And this is Jesus speaking here. And I just want to throw this out here and just remind us of this. This is not a suggestion from Christ. This is not a request by Christ. This is a command that we are given, that all those who follow Christ are given to follow. And so remember that this is a command and not a suggestion to us. And we read this as Jesus says this to his disciples. And he says, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Does our love look like Jesus's love? We're called to love like he loved, and commanded to love like he loves. And it's by that love that others will know that we are disciples of Christ. Are we marked by love? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the challenges, the commands from your word. Help us to remember that this is not a suggestion, that this is a command for us to follow, that we need to love others, Lord. That this should set us apart as different, our love for others. And Lord, help us to take this seriously and really seek you and really say, God, where am I off? Where am I not living this out like you've called me to live this out? And surrender that to you. Lord, help us to respond to these passages today and to live them for you. We just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, as we started our first week, I read some verses out of 1 John, and I just want to remind us of those verses. It's 1 John 3, verses 10, verse 16, and verse 23. It says this: this is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother. Verse 16 says, this is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers. And then verse 23 says this: now this is his command, that we believe in his name, or in the name of his son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. And so we have the start out point there of, if you're God's child, you need to be loving your brothers. And then we have the verse 16 where we can only love because he loved. We can only understand love. We can only come to know love because we have seen his example of love. And then the reminder of the command to love there in verse 23. As we have been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and breaking down what love looks like, how we're called to love, we have gone through the majority of it up to this point, and we're going to be spending our time looking at verse 6 today. And so in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, I want to read those in 8, and then we're going to spend our majority of our time looking at verse 6. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. Does not act improperly. Is not selfish. Is not provoked. And does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Like I said, verse 6 is what our primary focus was on this Marked By Part 6 series. And as we get into verse 6 here, it says, love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And we're getting into the first of five love builders. Rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'm going to call those the love builders. But just before this love builder, just before this first one that we're looking at today of rejoices in truth, we see these words. It's one more no statement. It's love finds no joy in unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? Well, unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of law. Whose law are we talking about there? God's law. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's the New Living Translation. I like how that's really worded there to understand that there's a standard out there that we fall so short of. Whose standard? God's standard. But not only is breaking the law and falling short of the standard, not only are those sin, that is sin, but also when we don't do the things we know we should be doing, that is also sin. You see, James 4:17 says this, so it is a sin for a person who knows to do what is good and does not do it. So it is a sin for the person who knows to do what is good and doesn't do it. What good? The good that God commands us to do. That's sin. That's unrighteousness in this passage. And it says, love finds no joy in unrighteousness. Love finds no joy in sin. I found this definition of sin on Billy Graham's website. It says this, a sin is any thought or action that falls short of God's will. God is perfect. And anything we do that falls short of his perfection is sin. Do we delight in sin? See, the world delights in sin. They take great joy from sin. Most of the entertainment that we see around us is based off of sin. Most of the movies, the television shows, the music, the books, comedians and their jokes, they're based off entertainment of sin, promoting sin in our life. We don't call it sin. We like to dumb it down a little bit, make it seem not so harsh in our lives. We like to use words like mistakes or mess ups or poor choices or slip ups. Those are more friendly words that we like to use for sin. I was reading a book by Kyle Eidemann called The End of Me, and there's this quote in the middle of the book. It's a few paragraphs long, but I want to read it to you. It says, an interesting word, that word sin. A century ago, our vocabulary was rich in synonyms for sin. Words like iniquity, transgressions, turpitude, depravity, reprobation, and his personal favorite, peccancy. New Testament Greek had 33 different words for the word sin. Apparently, we once knew a way around our concept of sin, what sin was. You can learn a lot about a society by digging through their heap of discarded words. These days, you don't hear people worrying about their turpitude at the water cooler or sharing about their depravity during prayer request time. I read a few years ago that the Oxford Junior Dictionary, having long since scratched out the words listed above, tried to make it a clean sweep by removing the word sin. Supposedly, it's an old, decrepit word that now sat in the corner of the vocabulary parlor, rocking in its rocking chair, talking about the old days. Nobody paid attention to it anymore. Cousin Iniquity and Cousin Turpitude, well, they passed away. And the children don't come visit much. Children? Oh, mistake, unfortunate choice, and of course, little boo-boo. Let's be honest in our lives. Let's be honest about our attitude towards sin. Do we rejoice in sin in our life? Do we take great joy from past sin? Do we take great pleasure in present sin? Do we even care about sin's influence and what we're allowing in? Do we rejoice in sin in other people's lives? Maybe we haven't become joyful about sin, but maybe we've become softened to sin. We've become numb to sin. We need to recognize what sin does. We need to recognize that sin separates us from God. Because of sin, we deserve death. And sin offends, insults a holy God. And we need to take no joy in sin. But what should our response be to sin? Instead of joy, what is the opposite of joy? The opposite of joy is mourning. Do we mourn over sin? When we fall into sin, or we use that word fall instead of sin sometimes, when we sin, do we mourn at all? See, Matthew 5 verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Well, seems like it's the opposite there. Like, wait a second, you mean, why would I mourn? That doesn't seem like I would receive any kind of comfort from that. But when we mourn sin, there's comfort that comes from God. See, James 4 verses 7 through 10 says this, "Therefore submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Your laughter must change to mourning and your joy to sorrow. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you." You know, we need to come before God mourning our sinfulness, mourning our separation, mourning our insult of him, and realize what sin does and respond to that sin not with joy, but with mourning. There's an example of David in Psalm and his sin that he responds to it in this mourning way, in this conviction, this mourning, this confession, this forgiven joy way that we see there in James, as you realize your sin and you weep over your sin, you change your laughter to mourning over sin, and you confess that to the Lord. In Psalm 32 says, I look at verse 1 through 5, it says this, "How joyful is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered." So we see that joy there, that end result there. "How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, in whose spirit is no deceit." And so we see that once again, that joy, because we have not been charged, or we have not received the penalty due us because of sin. But after that, we see what happened. Why can David be joyful because of his forgiven sin? He says this: when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. What is that groaning? That's a mourning. The mourning of sin, the groaning over sin, the sadness over sin, the weeping over sin. It says this in verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. You see in verse 4 there's this conviction, this heavy hand on his heart, this conviction of sin. We had verse 3, the groaning, the mourning over sin. And then verse 5, we have the confession of sin. And that's why David can say, how joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So what is our response to sin? That End of Me book goes on and says this, and I want to just read this to you. It says, if we fail to acknowledge sin's reality, there can be no mourning. And without mourning, there can be no confession. And without confession, we miss the richest blessing of God's forgiveness and grace. So don't call it a mistake, an addiction, a boo-boo, or, my bad, call it sin. I want to invite you today and challenge you today to call sin, sin in your life. To mourn over that sin. To weep over that sin. To confess that sin to God. That joy may come because of forgiveness of sin. And that you will no longer take, and I will no longer take, joy in unrighteousness. Joy in sin. So that as that is gone from my life, I can then, instead of taking joy from sin, I can take joy in another way. As it says in verse 6 there in 1 Corinthians, love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. You may read that and go, wait a second, the opposite of unrighteousness would be righteousness. Shouldn't it say rejoices in righteousness, not rejoices in truth? Here's the reality. As we realize the truth of God's word, we rejoice in the truth of God's word, talking about God's standard revealed in God's words. We're talking about God himself revealed in God's word. We're talking about our only hope of righteousness revealed in God's word. As we realize the standard, as we realize who God is, and we realize how he's revealed, and we realize that God is our only hope, that he made a way for us to receive righteousness, as we know that truth and we rejoice in that truth, that is the opposite of unrighteousness. Because righteousness and the revealed truth of righteousness is found within the revealed truth of God, his word. And so do we rejoice in God's word? Do we spend time in God's word? If you want to build your love for others, then get into God's word. Let him change your heart. Rejoice in truth. Let him adjust you. Let him direct you. Get to know him more. And as he is revealed in your life, and as the righteousness you can only receive from him is just affirmed in your life because of grace, because of your faith in him, as that is affirmed in your life and you start to see God's standard within his word as you read, then God starts to build up your love and affirm your love and redirect your love for others. And so that starts to build that love you're called to have. As truth is revealed, as truth is affirmed, as truth is built up in you. We read in 2 John verse 6 through 9, it says this. And this is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is love, that we walk according to his commands. Where are his commands found? In the truth, in his word. This is the command you have heard. It is from the beginning. You have heard this command from the beginning. You must walk in love. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so you don't lose what you have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching, but goes beyond it, does not have God. The one who remains in that teaching is the one that, or this one, has both the Father and the Son. So we see in this passage, we see a remaining in truth, and we see a walking in truth. We see a walking according to God's commands started out there in verse 6. And then later on, we see the one who remains in his teachings. So in order to rejoice in truth, we do this by walking in truth or following the commands of Christ. And we do this by remaining in truth and continuing to learn the commands of Christ, learn his teachings, so that we may then live them out. And we do this in response to God's love, not to earn God's love. I say that all the time. But we need to live for him in response to the love we have received, the love we have in him. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for you. And so as we realize that, then we respond by living for him, because we have responded in faith to the grace that is available freely in Christ. And then we want to live for him. We rejoice in that. We rejoice in following the truth of God's word. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 7 says this: His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything required for life. Everything we require for life and godliness comes where? Through the knowledge of him. Where to receive knowledge from him? In his word. The Holy Spirit, as we read his word, helps us understand the intentions of the words, helps us understand the direction of the words, convicts us, challenges us, changes us, so that we may follow him. And so we grow in the knowledge of him as we get into the truth, and we rejoice in the truth, and we walk in the truth, and we remain in the truth, as we're talking about there in 2 John. And everything we need for life and godliness comes through the knowledge of him. As it goes on, it says, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises. Where are the very great and precious promises found? In the truth, in his word. So that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. And so if we want to escape that rejoicing in unrighteousness, then we get into God's word. We get into the very great and precious promises that are revealed within the word of God, within the truth of God. So escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And so as we grow in our knowledge, then our love for others will grow as well. And this is done, not, like I said before, and like I said a second ago, not to earn God's love, but this is a response to the love we have received from Christ, the grace we have received from Christ, the righteousness we have received from Christ, not earned by us, but received freely by faith in his works. And so as we believe in Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, that he paid the entire price, we place our faith in that alone, and we rejoice in the righteousness we receive from him through faith, by grace, then we start to get into God's word. And the Holy Spirit starts working in us because we receive the Holy Spirit, and he guides us through his word, and he challenges us, and our knowledge grows and our understanding grows, and we start to live out this life we are called to live. This brotherly affection we are called to have for each other. This love we are called to have. And so I want to encourage you, rejoice in truth. Walk in truth. Remain in truth. And our unrighteousness, our sin, let's mourn over that. Let's give it to God. Let's realize who we're offending. Let's realize the separation that sin causes. Turning from that, following our Lord and Savior, rejoicing in truth. Jesus, I thank you so much for the time that we get to spend going through these scriptures. Please help us to turn from unrighteousness, to rejoice in truth. Holy Spirit, challenge us, change us, empower us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.